Well, good morning. I knew there would be many of you that would come today because you thought you might be able to be on television. Welcome to the pilot episode of a brand new TV show here on FBC TV, known as 30 Minutes, even though we might not take 30 minutes. I'm not Mike Wallace. My name is Mike Beach, and we'd like to welcome you today to this special opportunity for us to welcome a special guest who has traveled not only many, many miles all the way from Nazareth, but also many, many years. We'd like you to welcome this morning Mary, the mother of Jesus.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
So, Mary, it must be incredible that your story is found in the Bible. If you want to follow along, we're going to be looking at some things from Luke chapter 1 and 2, but it's a wonderful privilege for me to have the opportunity to ask Mary a few questions this morning and give us a unique perspective, for sure, on that Christmas morning, that very first Christmas morning. So, Mary, if you don't mind me just jumping in and starting to ask you some questions.
Sure.
So, from what we see in the story, you are a young lady from a rather unimportant small village. In that circumstance, what were you thinking and feeling when you had the experience of being encountered by the angel Gabriel?
I was thinking, who am I? I remembered the stories of our ancestors that said that very same thing, and that's exactly what I was thinking. Who am I? I remember Moses said that when he was told that he would lead our people out of Egypt. And also I remember David saying that to Saul, when he was given the opportunity to marry the king's daughter. And then again to the Lord when God made a covenant with him. So here I am, a very young woman. I was very young then. In a tiny village, just a very ordinary girl. Who was I to receive a message from this amazing messenger of God? I think the lesson for your visitors today would be that sometimes God does his most extraordinary work through very ordinary people. By the way, the question that I was asking, who am I, was the same question that my son would ask his disciples later. Who do you say that I am? That is a question that everyone should know the answer to.
Wow. Excellent point, Mary. Wow. So just how shocking was the announcement to you that you would conceive and give birth to what Gabriel said was the Son of the Most High? How did that hit you?
Well, what do you think? First of all, if no one else would believe me, I knew that I had been faithful. Now, Joseph and I were engaged, but we were not yet married, and I had not had relations with Joseph or any man. So how would I explain the fact that I was pregnant? Gabriel said that I had found favor with God, but that didn't feel like favor to me. Secondly, while every mother wishes the very best for the future of their child, how was I to believe these fantastic foretellings? The Son of the Most High. He would be given the throne of his father David. And he would reign over the house of Jacob forever. Mr. Beach, these were messianic prophecies. How was I to believe this? He even told me what to name him. Jesus, which means the Lord saves. How can this be?
So there was some confusion on your part,
yes,
obviously. What was Gabriel's answer to your confusion about this announcement? And then how did you respond to him?
Well, if things hadn't already been quite confusing, other than the prophecy from Isaiah saying that a virgin would have a child, who ever heard of a woman that was a virgin being pregnant? Gabriel said that it would be of the Holy Spirit. the very Spirit of God himself would come upon me. And that my child would be holy because of that. He would be God. Looking back, I understand it more now, because he was not born of a human father. He did not inherit the sinful nature from Adam. So that is how he was so special. He was greater than any man before him or any man after him. He was the very Son of God.
Wow. Fantastic.
Fully God and fully human.
That's amazing.
My response was just a reply of simple faith. I believe God gave me the faith to believe, just like he did my ancestor Esther, for such a time as this. My reply was just a simple faith. I said, Lord, here I am. I am your servant. May it be to me according to your word.
Excellent. Wow. So that's quite a response, Mary. It's no wonder many have looked up to you since then. Mm-hmm. How helpful was it for you that Elizabeth, your relative, in her old age, was also pregnant?
Well, some might say misery loves company, but really, it was much more than that. While I was confused and somewhat scared, I was also excited. To have another woman to share my heart with was very important. Someone to talk to and someone to cry, a shoulder to cry on. That was very helpful. There's nothing like it. During both times of crisis and times of celebration, we need the loving help of other people.
That's true.
Elizabeth's reaction to my arrival added to the awe of the experience. When we greeted each other, her baby leapt in the womb. Now, this might not seem like an important thing to the story, but actually it was. I simply must point out that the unborn baby, John, was a real person with a personality inside the womb, able to recognize my baby, Jesus, and react to him.
That's incredible.
I find it horrifically astounding to me that all these years later, in what we supposedly call a sophisticated age, there are those that would take the life of a baby in a womb. Now that I've said that, I also need to say that Liz's reaction to me was further confirmation that Gabriel had told me. She shouted what sounded like to me like a blessing. She called me blessed. She blessed me and she blessed my baby. It has certainly been disturbing to me, though, to understand that some people have made me out to be something that I'm not. I am not the one to pray to. I'm not perfect, and I've never been perfect. And I didn't remain a virgin. Joseph and I had other children the natural way. So I am a person that needs to be saved just like everyone else. I truly was blessed to be the mother of Jesus, but I definitely was not perfect.
Well,
but blessed indeed I was.
Well, thank you for sharing that with us. That makes me feel better. Well, another question I have for you. Some people have said that you sang what could be called the very first Christmas carol. When you heard about this announcement, what was it that inspired you to break out in praise and song?
Have you been listening to all that I've told you? My song started off like many of the psalms that had for years been a part of my family's worship of the Lord, specifically patterned after the Psalms of Thanksgiving. I was inspired to thank God and praise him for all that he had done for me. Notice that I magnified the Lord, not myself. He is the only one worthy of being exalted like that. And I rejoiced in God, my Savior, because I knew that I too was a sinner in need of a Savior. How incredible that I would give birth to the one who would give his life to save me and to save the whole world. I was reminded of Hannah's song of praise when she dedicated her child Samuel to the Lord. Remember, she had been barren also. I praise God that he had looked on me. He saw me and knew me. For every person that has faith, they can also say that he knows them. He knows them. He cares for them. He knows you, and he cares for you. I praise the mighty things for the things that he had done for me. And isn't it too something that we can all praise him for? What he had done for me had been recorded in Scripture and is a great part of God's redemption. But for everyone who has been redeemed, the story is the same. Holy is his name. I was caught up in the holiness of God. I wish that for everyone. I was amazed at his strength and his power. But as also I was rejoicing in God at the mercy of God of mercy and compassion. A gracious God who looks on the lonely and the hurting. His mercies are new every day. Great is his faithfulness.
Well, thank you for writing that first Christmas carol. It's a moving one for us, Mary. Now, moving ahead then to the story of the actual birth of Christ, recorded in Luke chapter 2. We've, all of us here in the studio and watching at home, are probably aware of the story. We read it with our families at Christmas time. But as we get near the end of our little visit this morning together, I wanted to ask you about the visit from the shepherds. Can you describe that part of the experience for us? Because it just seems incredible.
Well, the first thing that I would say again is that God does amazing things through ordinary people. Now, shepherds, they were one of the last people that anyone thought would ever receive a message from God or from a messenger of God. They were sometimes dirty, and they were just a lowly people, and sometimes even referred to as unintelligent. But remember in Psalm 23, Jesus taught us that he was the great shepherd. And later, he said that he was the shepherd that would give his life for the sheep. But I was also rejoicing in a God of mercy and compassion, a gracious God. But what the angel told them is so critical to remember. For unto you is born this day a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. It's amazing. For unto you is born this day a Savior, just Christ the Lord. These three titles describe just how great my son would be. He was Savior because, as I said, he would ultimately die to save his people from our sins. He was Christ, which is another way of saying Messiah. He was the long-awaited king of Israel. Unlike any king that's ever been. And he was and is Lord. That's a title reserved for deity. He was indeed the Son of God. As you know, I treasured up all these things in my heart. And I thought long and hard about them. And I hope that those who hear me today will do the same. And this is all too important to gloss over at Christmas time. Think long and hard and deeply about what the birth and the life and the death and the resurrection of the Savior, Christ the Lord, means today. Think about what it means for you. Thank you for having me today.
Well, Mary, thank you so much. There are a lot of questions that we'd love to ask you, but maybe we'll save those for another episode down the road.
Very good.
Thank you so much for being with us
today,
Mary. God bless you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Well, I know my appreciation for Mary's role in the Christmas story has changed and has heightened today, and I hope it has for you as well. Think real hard about some of those answers to the questions that she gave and what the birth of her son, God's son, means for you and for me this year. All right, God bless you.
I'm going to ask the other members of the worship team to come join me. We're going to sing a song. It's entitled, My Life is in You. And you may think, wow, that's about as Christmassy as nothing. But it really is Christmassy. We could not sing this song, My Life is in You, Lord, if Jesus had not been born, if God had not seen to it in eternity past that he needed to do something to save the sinful people that would be born. And there was only one solution to that sin problem, and that was his son Jesus. So rather than just coming up with some kind of plan in the heat of the moment, God determined beforehand that he would manifest himself, Almighty God, in the form of a human being to come to earth. Just a day or so ago, I heard something that really struck me. That when Jesus came to earth, he traded all of his glory for a skill set that included eating and sleeping. That's all he had. He came as a real baby. But he showed us the Father. He accomplished his mission. And he died for our sin. Bless your heart, if you're here this morning and that's just kind of familiar words to you, but you have never stopped to analyze what's going on in your life, and that won't take long. And to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the only answer for your sin problem. And he's here to save us today because God saw fit to send him years and years ago. If you're a child of God, you're born again according to the scripture. As we sing this song, do so rejoicing that your life really is in Jesus Christ. And if you are not sure of that, will you talk to somebody after the service and just tell them, you know what, I don't understand some of this and I need some help. And we'll give it to you from God's word. Stand with me, and with this in mind, be happy, it's still okay. And sing, My Life is in You, Lord.
My life is in You, Lord. My strength is in You, Lord. My hope is in You, Lord. In You, in You. My life is in You, Lord. My strength is in You, Lord. My hope is in You, Lord. In You, in You. I will praise You with all of my life. I will praise You with all of my strength. With all of my life. With all of my strength. Is in You, Lord, and my hope is in You, Lord, in You, within You. My life is in You, Lord, and my strength is in You, Lord, and my hope is in You, Lord, in You, within You, in You.
Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Now, before you get all carried away and want to leave, we're going to have you sit down for a minute. Stay happy, because Pastor Michael's going to come, and we're going to welcome some new members into our fellowship. Go ahead and be seated.
Amen. Well, this is a blessed time for us. We know that when you become a believer in Christ, you are